Pastor John Randall says, don't expect your daily walk to be easy and problem-free.
The point I want to emphasize to you is that sometimes in the will of God, we have to do things that aren't easy to do. The Lord may send us places that aren't easy to go. Typically, we look for the comfortable road, the easy journey. Is there a trial-free Christian life I can sign up for? I'm just wondering if, no, not if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God. There's no trial-free. Yet the Lord never promised in Scripture an easy journey. He did promise a safe landing.
It is time once again for a daily walk where you never have to walk alone. Pastor John Randall is nearing the completion of his study in Romans, and we'll finish up chapter 15 today and next time. Now, maybe you're the type of person that likes to plan ahead, set your goals, and then set out to achieve them. There's nothing wrong with any of that. In fact, the Apostle Paul was a planner too. But there are some important things to keep in mind along the journey, like expect some hindrances and opposition. Here's Pastor John.
Romans chapter 15. And again, if you are joining us for the first time, we have been traveling through this epistle to the Romans. We started last year, and we are almost through. In fact, next week, Lord willing, we will conclude this epistle. But today I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. If you would please follow along with me as we consider a message together that I've entitled Planning Ahead. Verse 22, "For this reason, I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way by you there, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." I was wondering, as I was coming here today, if you would consider yourself to be a planner. Do you have a to-do list, short, long-term goals in mind? I love people like that. I admire them. Do you set deadlines and usually don't procrastinate? Or would you classify yourself as a more spontaneous person? You like to, that's one way of saying it. You like to keep your options open, having flexibility, and change really doesn't affect you, and you work best under pressure. Well, with this new year upon us, this is certainly the time when planners have planned, and the spontaneous, well, they're open to whatever the Lord might have. Either way, the Bible does have things to say about how a Christian is to order their steps accordingly. The Scriptures provide insight as to how to make your plans in a way that honors God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." The psalmist declared in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. We want God to direct our steps. We want the Lord to order our steps, lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. You know, when it comes to planning, Jesus also gave an exhortation in Luke chapter 14. And he said, "For which of you intending to build a tower doesn't sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" In other words, if you're going to set out to do something, you want to think ahead, plan ahead. How's this going to go? Can we finish it? Can we complete it, lest you start it and not finish it? I think probably one of the best passages of Scriptures as it relates to planning and the will of God is found in the book of James chapter 4, where James exhorts the church and he said, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will do such and such a thing and go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away." Here's the exhortation. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. That's the way I tend to organize my life. Lord, if you will, then that's what we're doing. At this point in the letter to the Romans, Paul has come to the conclusion or the epilogue of his epistle. And the letter has moved now from the deeply theological to the very personal and practical aspects of the letter. And Paul talks about personal struggles. He shares about his plans and possible options for the future, as well as his established commitments that he intends to fulfill. When it came to planning for the apostle, he was both intentional and at the same time, he remained flexible. One of his main priorities of his ministry was to preach the gospel in places that had never heard it before. He would go to groups of people, mostly Gentile communities, that were steeped in paganism and idolatry and had no context of the true and the living God. And when he arrived, he would preach Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And as a result, people were getting saved and churches were being planted in all of these Gentile regions. Paul had been faithful and the Lord had blessed the work of his hands. But in addition to the fruit that came from Paul's ministry, he mentions here some of the hindrances and challenges that he faced within the ministry. If you look at verse 22, he said, "For this reason, I've been much hindered from coming to you." What reason? Well, one reason was because of the workload that he had. I mean, the guy was ministering everywhere, and there was his schedule was completely packed with different things that he had started and people that he was discipling. So some of that, the workload itself kept him from getting to Rome. There was just so much work to do. He didn't have the time to be able to get there. Although he did have the desire to go. He says here, I have a great desire. These many years I've wanted to come to you. And whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. And I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way by you there. If first I may enjoy your company for a while. So you see that there's this intention. I've always wanted to come, but I've been hindered actually from getting to you. Perhaps some of it had to do with the workload. Some of the hindrance could have been Paul's personal health. I mean, this guy would have various problems with his health that would leave him, I mean, basically debilitated. He couldn't move sometimes because of what he experienced. But then the other thing that hindered Paul, and this is what I think he's alluding to here, the much hindrance that he experienced was from opposition to the work of the ministry. In fact, Paul used the same word in writing to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, when he said, "We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." It was our desire. We wanted to get there, but every time we set out to go, there was opposition. There was always something standing in the way, some obstacle that we couldn't get through. The Apostle Paul encountered many obstacles that came in different forms, ranging from, as I said, debilitating health issues, prison time, that kind of hinders you, angry mobs, shipwrecks, and more. And there was no doubt some of these things that had hindered Paul in the past. Let me say to you this morning that you may have a desire to do something for the Lord or an intention of going here or going there, but for some reason, it hasn't yet worked out. The door hasn't opened yet. And it could just be a matter of timing when the Lord's going to make that way or open that door. Sometimes we also encounter spiritual warfare. It's real. There's an actual spiritual battle going on. Any ministry that we seek to do for the Lord will not go unopposed. Sometimes we think it's strange when we're opposed. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to do good things. And in some way, there's this opposition from outside, even from within, from all over. And we think, how could this be? I just want to do God's will. But when a Christian decides to become part of the building process in the kingdom of God, as soon as we say, "Let us rise up and build," the enemy comes in and says, "Let us rise and tear down what you're attempting to build." There will always be opposition. Hey, have you encountered any hindrances this year so far? Or how about this? Is the Lord closing the door or is the devil trying to block your way? You ever tried to figure out which one it was. Is this the Lord or is this the enemy stopping me? Lord, do you want me to pound through this door or is the devil on the other side trying to hold me back from getting it? I don't know. Is this a test of faith that you have to walk through despite the opposition? Or is God using the opposition to redirect me right where he wants to go? You ever had those kind of situations? Paul lived in that. I've experienced that. You say, well, how did you determine which was what? I just kept going. I just kept doing the next thing, trusting that God would make it clear. Even with the hindrances that Paul experienced and had, there were commitments that he was intending to fulfill. And he mentions not only the hindrances, but also the commitments that he had. If you look at verse 23, he says, but now. I mean, I've been hindered, but now I don't have a place in these parts any longer. I have a great desire to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. I hope to see you. Do you see how indefinite this is? I wonder if you're picking up on this. I want to come to you. I hope to. I'm thinking about going to, I'm not really sure if it's going to happen. It's a desire, but I don't know. But I'm hoping, and when I get there, if I do, it's so gloriously indefinite. I don't know. I mean, this is a guy that is just seeking to walk in the will of the Lord, and he's just trying to figure it out while he goes. And I take great comfort in this because this is me. I have been this guy where I'm not sure. I think it is, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I'm thinking I'm going to be there. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. This is what Paul is dealing with. And he expresses his desire to go to Rome, the possibility, whenever, I hope. But before he could make it to Rome and Spain, you know what he does say? I'm traveling 1,000 miles in the opposite direction to go to Jerusalem to minister to the needs there. This is a commitment. I really have a desire to do this, but this is what I'm called to do. I know for sure. There are things that I have a desire to do, and then there are things that I know I'm called to this. This is my calling. I would love, oh, that would be so great. That would be great to go minister over there. But this is where I am. This is my calling. And I feel that as a pastor in this place, that there's a lot of things that come my way from time to time, opportunities, etc. Oh man, that would be great. But you know what? I got stuff to do right here and I'm good. So that's not going to work out. But that's kind of where Paul was at. And so before he could go to Rome, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And why? Why are you going to go to Jerusalem? What's the big deal? Why are you going back there? Well, he tells us here in verse 27 why it was. He says, it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them. They are their debtors. If the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty or responsibility is to minister to them in material things. Now, let me explain. The church in Jerusalem, where Christianity began, was struggling at this time. For one thing, there was a famine during this particular time that had affected the church in Jerusalem. In addition to that, there was persecution in the church in Jerusalem. You see, if you became a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you would be rejected by your family. Oftentimes, they would have a funeral for you and say that you had died if you had turned away from Judaism, if you were a follower of Jesus. Furthermore, your community would reject you. If you worked in that area, you couldn't get jobs. So it affected your livelihood. The church had fallen upon hard times. And because Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, he decided that these churches that he had planted, he would go around and receive, give them an opportunity to give a contribution financially, which he would in turn take back to Jerusalem to help meet their needs. I mean, the Gentiles had been blessed spiritually because of what went on in Jerusalem. Because of the work that God did there, they were the recipients, spiritually speaking, of the work that God had done there. So it seemed only fair and right. How about we help them out materially if they blessed you spiritually? That was how Paul presented it to the churches. And the churches that Paul planted, they were excited about being a part of it. They wanted to give. And you'll discover as you read through some of Paul's epistles, which is the majority of the New Testament, there are moments in his epistles where he talks about this very contribution and exhorting the churches to prepare it. One example of this would be there in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing and he's using the churches of Macedonia and Achaia as an example, saying these churches have already contributed. And he's telling the Corinthians, you committed to contributing, like, come on with it, like, fulfill your commitment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, this is what he said. He said to the church in Corinth, in great trial of affliction, talking about the churches in Macedonia, of affliction, the abundance of their joy and out of their deep poverty abounded riches, it says, of their liberality. These people were hurting and yet they wanted to give. And so they gave. And so Paul is exhorting the other churches to be a part of this financial contribution. And why? Not only to meet the need, but it was Paul's desire that this contribution from Gentiles to the Jews would bring a greater unity amongst these two groups. That was Paul's heart, that Jews and Gentiles would come together and that by giving this and supporting them, they would see that as a love offering and there would be greater unity in the church. It's also important to mention, and this is really important, that going to Jerusalem was not going to be easy for Paul. Man, it would have been much easier to go. Let's go to Spain. How about that? Let's go to Rome. That sounds fun. No. This was a harder journey. There were people in Jerusalem that were calling for Paul's death. They wanted him dead. I mean, you want to go somewhere where everybody's looking for you, like your most wanted picture is in the town? That's what it would be like. Everybody's looking for you. And for one reason, to put you to death. On Paul's way back to Jerusalem, here he tells the church in Rome, I'm going back to Jerusalem. Well, the book of Acts records his journey back to Jerusalem. And along his journey, every place he stopped, there were people in the churches that were warning him, don't do it. Don't go, Paul. That's crazy. That's suicide. In fact, when Paul, in Acts chapter 20, he met with the Ephesian elders on the shores of Miletus, and they all gathered there and they wept. And Paul told them, you know how I've lived among you, how I went from house to house warning you. You know what I fed you, what I've given you spiritually. But now I'm going to Jerusalem. And they're like, Paul, please don't go. In fact, Paul wrote in Acts 20, and this is what he said. He said, in light of all that awaited him, all the persecution, all the problems that were there, this is what he said. He said, none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself that I might finish my race with joy in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, this isn't going to be easy. Being in the will of God is not necessarily easy. And anybody that tells you it is, they don't know. They don't know. Take it from me. Take it from other people. Take it from the word of God. It's not always easy. But Paul was willing to do it because God called him to do it. And his life didn't matter as much as doing the will of God mattered. And his whole life was swallowed up in the purpose and mission that God had given him. So I'm going to do it. My life, it's not about me. It's about him. I'm not moved by this. I'm not fazed by this. Hey, it's going to be really difficult if you do that. Great. Tell me something I don't know. Like, I mean, Paul's whole life. And then he gets to Acts 21 and he goes into this area of Tyre. He finds some disciples there. Acts 21:4, and they said it again. He says, we found disciples and we stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Oh, no, we're invoking the Holy Spirit. This isn't just personal. We're bringing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to know you're not supposed to go. Well, the Holy Spirit apparently didn't tell Paul that. That's funny when people sometimes, I think the Lord wants me to tell you. Well, thank you. I'm pretty sure he's going to tell me at some point too, hopefully. But Paul heard all these warnings. And then he goes down to Caesarea. He stays with Philip, the evangelist. And while he's down there with Philip, a man by the name of Agabus comes down, a prophet. Now we got people's personal preference. We're invoking the Holy Spirit. Now we got a prophet coming. Look at Acts 21. It says, as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down to Judea, from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. Now, when he heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. I mean, the guy took his belt. I mean, that's awkward. Hey, You know, he's got his belt and he's tying his hands. Whoever owns this, obviously we know Paul owns it, but he's saying this is a demonstration. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be bound. I mean, the Holy Spirit was telling him this is what you can expect. The Holy Spirit didn't necessarily say don't go. Just told him this is what you're going to find when you go. Paul would not be swayed. He was committed. Not everyone understood, obviously, why Paul would go to Jerusalem. Not everyone agreed with his decision to go to Jerusalem. But Paul was committed and determined regardless of what the cost was that was involved. The point I want to emphasize to you is that sometimes in the will of God, we have to do things that aren't easy to do. The Lord may send us places that aren't easy to go. Typically, we look for the comfortable road, the easy journey. Is there a trial-free Christian life I can sign up for? I'm just wondering if, no, not if you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God. There's no trial-free. Yet the Lord never promised in Scripture an easy journey. He did promise a safe landing. Paul had hindrances, he had enemies, he had opposition, but he also had Jesus. And he had the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was willing to do God's will in spite of everything that was in front of him. And maybe that's what you're facing today. You think, how can this be the will of God for my life? How could it not be?
Such a great lesson for us today on The Daily Walk. Pastor John Randall has been speaking about the will of God and how it relates to our daily walk. He'll be right back to share a few words about planning ahead. You can get the CD that contains today's message for a cost of just $5. Either go to adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. And by the way, our recent programs are accessible through the website at adailywalk.org. And you can hear Pastor John's messages shortly after they're delivered by getting our church app. It's free. Just do a search for Calvary South OC to download our app and start listening to weekly teachings from Pastor John. Listen to the A Daily Walk podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Singleness, marriage, and dating. The world has its ideas and thoughts on the subject, but in the book Love That Lasts, you'll receive God's perspective. Pastor John will lead you through the pages of the Song of Solomon, and by the end of the book, you'll be left encouraged by God's love for us and His heart for true love and relationships. To order a copy of Love That Lasts, simply call us at 877-242-0828. The cost is $15. Again, we can serve you at 877-242-0828 or make your request online at adailywalk.org. Anything given above that amount will serve to help us continue the ministry on this station of yours. Please remember, we are listener supported, and we very much appreciate you standing with us in 2023. No gift is too small for God to use in great ways. Again, donating online is super easy at adailywalk.org. Now back to Romans chapter 15.
Therefore, verse 28, he says, therefore, here's my future plans. All right, let me tell you, this is what I'm thinking. I'm definitely going to Jerusalem. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, that is, when I have handed off this offering, when I've given it to them, I've completed that mission, I shall go by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. In verse 28, again, Paul states his intention was to complete this mission. And then after that, he hoped to travel to Rome by way of Spain. Again, another important point as it relates to making your plans and the purposes of God and His will is that when it comes to making our plans, and it's important that we finish the commitments that we've made, that you complete what God's put in front of you, that you don't leave it undone. Well, I started it, it's fine, I don't need to finish. No, you need to finish it. You need to be faithful. You need to complete it. Paul was anxious to complete this project of the collection of money for the Jerusalem poor, but in this verse, he gives us all a good practical principle for life. He's not going to quit until it's done, until it's through. Like, follow through with it. Do you have anything that you've committed to that you kind of thinking about not committing to anymore, reneging on your commitment, backing out of it. Why? It's just too hard. It's just too difficult. Listen, finish strong. Do it right. Do it for the glory of God. Do all that is, that you do for the glory of God. Do we finish what we begin in realm of spiritual matters? Or do we quit when it's hard? Or do we just give up when it's difficult? Or we tap out because this takes too much time? Finish. Finish.
And just maybe that's a word for you today. Finish the work that's placed in front of you before moving on to the next thing. We'll share more about this on A Daily Walk tomorrow when John Randall returns to Romans chapter 15. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.